Let's turn to Mark's Gospel for tonight's reading. Let's turn to Mark. And look at chapter 16. Primarily, however, just to take us back to where we left off last time, though we were reading in the Gospel of John. Let's go back to chapter 15 of Mark's Gospel and begin reading with verse 42. Mark 15, 42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, who also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, and asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in the sepulchre, which had been hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. We note here that Pilate marveled that the Lord was dead already. The death on the cross, they say, was a slow death. It was a painful death, the most painful. But we know that it was not the hands of men that took the Lord's life. They nailed him to the cross, to be sure. But we read there in John's Gospel how that he gave up the Spirit. He gave up his life. He offered over his life. He said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the Spirit. So they did not take the Lord's life as the life of a weakling. The fact that Pilate marveled that he was dead already would indicate and give further evidence, it seems to me, that of that truth, that the Lord offered up his own life. He said, "No man can take my life. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down." He said, "I have power to raise it up again." So they laid him in the tomb. We read that the stone was rolled to the door of the tomb, or the sepulchre. And now let's go on in chapter 16 and read. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning of the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone for us at the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were amazed. And he saith unto them, Be not amazed. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. They, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the rest. Neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat eating, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not those who had seen him after he had risen. Now let's turn back over to John's Gospel. In chapter 20, we will not read all of this, but we want to notice some things that John brings to our attention here. Again, he speaks of the first day of the week. This is evident in the other Gospels. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now you notice that John doesn't mention all of them. There's no problem here. None of the writers tell it exactly as the others. That is, we find that each one oftentimes gives us a little picture of something that the other does not give. To me, this is not a problem in the text, as many who seek to find problems seem to find a problem here. But this seems to me the gracious wisdom of the Holy Spirit to give to the separate ones these truths that bring the whole picture together and make the picture whole and complete. To me, this is very strong evidence for the inspiration of the Scriptures. To me, there's no problem at all here. I just appreciate the way in which the Holy Spirit has guided these men to each one add various details in the account. Anyway, with verse 2, chapter 20 of John, she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. I don't think we'd question who this other disciple was. The writer says, whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying there, and the cloth that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. But Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And he said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. That's as far as we'll read right now. But we notice a number of very interesting things here. You notice how that Mark two times mentioned that they did not believe. They believed not. We notice that here John says that this other disciple came to the sepulchre. He saw and believed. Now you will note in verse 9 it says, For they knew not that the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Why should this be new to them? Had they not heard that Jesus would be killed, would be buried, and on the third day be raised up? Should they have known this? Was it not the Lord Jesus who told them this just a few short weeks before? In Matthew chapter 16, he told them that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised up. Was it not the Lord Jesus who said, Destroy this body, or this temple rather, and I will raise it again in 3 days? Was this not an accusation brought against him when he was brought to trial? They said, This man said that he could rebuild this temple, and they pointed to the temple in Jerusalem, that he could build this temple again in 3 days. And that's not what he was talking about. But we see now that the Lord was buried, put in a tomb, and the tomb was sealed with a very great stone. And so the disciples went their way. They went into their homes with great sorrow. We find it is the women who come early in the morning. The disciples were scattered. But here we see there were certain women who were with the Lord all the way. After his disciples had forsaken him, and after they had, vacated the place, after he was taken away to be crucified, who do we find at the foot of the cross? We find these, the dear ones who had ministered to his needs time and time again. Now Matthew gives us also something of the same account, except he adds one other thing. Now if you would like to turn to Matthew chapter 28, let's notice something else. It is interesting to note, and I'm sure you discovered this when you read again chapter 27, how that the Pharisees, the chief priests and the Pharisees, went to Pilate and told him, said, you remember that this deceiver says that, said while he was still alive that after 3 days I will rise again? Now, why was it that the Pharisees remembered his saying this, and the disciples did not remember it? It does seem that the disciples disbelieved. And yet, when they buried Jesus, these Pharisees, in order to make sure that nothing happened to the body of Jesus, said, well, if you want to look at the passage, verse 63 in chapter 27, said, sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. And so Pilate gave them permission. Verse 66 says that they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Of course, they were ignorant who it was in that tomb. To us, as we look back, it was absurd that these puny men should think that either the stone could keep the Lord in the tomb, or that they could in any way hinder his resurrection. We'll not turn to it just now, but we will perhaps later on. You remember in Psalm 16, Peter quotes this in that sermon on Pentecost. Quotes what David said, thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That's referring to the resurrection of the Lord. So how do these men think that they could possibly hinder the Lord's resurrection? Well, going on in verse 1 of chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. These women evidently had no sleep that night. Now note in verse 2 it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did quake and became as dead men. Now what does this tell us about the men who were keeping guard at the tomb? It says, for fear of him, the keepers did quake and became as dead men. It seems this should have made believers out of them. But you remember what happened later, how that they were bribed. The story that was now to be circulated was that while they slept on guard duty, which was a no-no, while they slept, the disciples came and took the body of Jesus away. Well, when we put all of the gospel accounts together, we see the mighty working of God. Now the angel came. It said an angel descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Did this angel roll back the stone so the Lord could get out of the tomb? Was that necessary? Why do you suppose then that this took place? Could it have been for God's evidence that this was the mighty power of God? Not to let the Lord out, but to let people look in to see where he was. The angel on the inside, you remember, at the inside said, come see. He is not here. He is risen. Here's the evidence. Furthermore, here are the grave clothes that we read about. They're all in place. But there's no body inside. Here's the evidence. He's risen. Now, if they had to let the Lord out, if he had to be assisted in getting out of those grave clothes, and remember the grave clothes are just, it was just bands of linen wrapping around the individual. An individual couldn't move under those bands of linen. They were just wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped around the person. So, if someone had to assist the Lord Jesus in getting out of those, they wouldn't have been laying there still in their neat little pile, would they? They would have been unwrapped. And not only that, but the headcloth was laid over there. No, it wasn't that he needed help. Here's the evidence of what happened. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. Now you see, this very thing that the Jews feared would happen, that is, they wanted to see to it that it didn't happen, they feared the possibility of his absence from the tomb after 3 days, because he said after 3 days, I will rise again. So, the thing that they feared became the very theme of the preaching of the apostles. What was the theme of Peter's message that day on Pentecost when he preached to that great multitude of people? The resurrection. The resurrection. And what was the theme of Paul's preaching everywhere he went? Not only in Jerusalem, but in every place, at Corinth. The resurrection of Christ. He says, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then we're yet in our sins. We're of all men most pitiable. So the resurrection was the very center, the theme of Paul's preaching. So God gives evidence to the fact of the resurrection. So, let's just turn now to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. A great resurrection chapter of the Bible. Let us look at how Paul refers to the resurrection. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and in which ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, he adds, I am what I am. So the preaching of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was central in the message of the apostles. Now Paul gives something of a summary of the appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. You see, there was a real problem at Corinth. There was circulated amongst them, amongst the believers, amongst some of them. Paul said, why say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? There were some very weird ideas about the resurrection, or about the dead. So the Apostle Paul, in setting these people straight regarding the resurrection, starts off in this portion of his letter by giving them the evidences of the resurrection. He points them to the various individuals at the various times after the Lord was raised that he was seen of certain ones. So here's the evidence. And it's very good evidence of that. So I have a slide here tonight that shows the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord. We know that there's, I believe, 12. Let's see, 3, 6, 9, 12. 12 appearances of the Lord after he was buried, after he was raised. So let's just notice some of these. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, now when Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, then in Matthew chapter 28, and verse 9. And notice these are places, of course, at Jerusalem. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him and worshipped at his feet. This is the other women that is mentioned there. The third appearance, also at Jerusalem. Now, we've read the account there in John's Gospel, where that he appeared and do the two. But let's see what... Well, again, remember there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read that. In verse 5, where Paul said he was seen of Cephas. He was seen of Cephas. Now here's a passage we have not read in connection with the resurrection. We have read from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We've read from Matthew, Mark, and John, but we have not read from Luke's Gospel. Let's turn to the 24th chapter of Luke. And note in verse 15, verse 13 actually says, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. And they talked together all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that as they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. Well, we remember the account of this, how that they go along to Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus with them, and he asks them questions, and they're saying, have you been around here and don't know actually what's going on? So this Jesus that was crucified, we had hoped that this was the one who would redeem Israel, but now they're saying, in essence, our hopes are all shot. They're gone. He's buried. He's in the tomb. It was then that the Lord Jesus, and we might just turn to verse 25, and he said unto them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And remember how that after they had gone in, and when they broke bread with them, while they were eating, he said, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave them, and then their eyes were opened, and they knew who it was. So he appeared unto these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And also, at Jerusalem,
Here are some of his disciples gathered. Notice there's 10 apostles, not Thomas.
Judas had committed suicide,
so he's not there.
So 10 are gathered, as we read there in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 and 24. Let's look at that. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you.
Here he appears unto his disciples.
Now verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now you note the time of this appearance. He said it was the same day. It was evening of the first day of the week.
So he appears to 10. Now, Thomas was not there. Now on the following, notice this slide says Easter. It should be the first day of the week. The following,
we read in verses 26 through 28 in John's Gospel. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach here thy finger, and behold my hand. And reach here thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. So here he appears now to Thomas.
Now when we turn to the 21st chapter of John's Gospel,
and we won't take the time to read all that is in this account, but we might just summarize it. Remember that the disciples had been fishing all night, and they hadn't caught a thing. And as it began to break day the next morning, the Lord Jesus is on shore, but they didn't know that this was the Lord. And he asked them if they had caught anything. They said, not a thing. Fished all night, haven't caught a thing. He said, cast your net on the right side. They did so and caught a great net full of fish. And it was a huge catch. And remember how as they came to shore, then they recognized it was the Lord. And how that he prepared, he had a meal prepared for them. So here he appears unto 7 of his disciples. In verse 1 of John chapter 21 we read, After these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this manner showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples. There are 7
on this occasion by the Sea of Galilee. So the Lord appears unto them.
Now back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, let's look at verses 16 and 17. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth.
Now, we read this portion from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul said he appeared to the apostles, the disciples. And then he says he appeared to the 500 brethren.
And we're not told just where and at what time he made that appearance.
But Paul says he appeared unto 500 brethren.
Also, he says he appeared unto James.
In verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15,
we don't know when and where that took place.
But then in Acts chapter 1, we know that he appeared for the last time to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, let's look at verses, well, we won't read all of them, but from verse 2 through 9, as Luke opens this account, he says, on speaking of the Lord Jesus, all that he began to both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto his apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And then skipping down to verse 9, after he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So this is the last glimpse that the apostles have of the Lord Jesus. Now there is one last appearance to which Paul makes reference in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As Paul concludes his account of the appearances of the Lord after his resurrection, he said, and he appeared also unto me as unto a child born out of due time. He appeared also unto me. Just exactly when that was, we do not know. Paul tells us of the account in Acts tells us of Paul's conversion. And if this is the time to which Paul is referring, and it well may be, we could say this is the last account of those who have seen the Lord. But this, of course, qualifies the Apostle Paul to be an apostle. He was an eyewitness of the Lord. He had seen him after his resurrection. So here are the various accounts of the resurrection, that is, of the appearances of the Lord after his resurrection. We have also read in this portion in Acts from the first chapter, as we were looking at next to the last account of his appearance, as well as his disappearance, these disciples were gathered, and they saw him taken up. And of course, this is a commission for them to take the gospel when they receive power from on high. Well, these are the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord. What evidence? It wasn't just the one. It wasn't just the two. Not that this would have been altogether that important. The Lord doesn't need all of that evidence, but in His grace, just as Luke says, he made this known by many infallible proofs. The Lord chooses through his grace to give all the evidence that is needed. And yet, we read that even his disciples did not believe. And people still do not believe it today. What if people really stop to think, a people of the world, unbelievers, if they stop to think about the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? There would be a number of implications. What do you suppose would be one of the strongest implications . What would be the first thought would might come to their mind, or what would come to your mind if you knew that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? What would that suggest to you?
Well, just suppose that you had not heard that he's coming again. You say, well, that wouldn't, may not suggest anything. But if he died for the sins of the world according to the scriptures and was buried and raised again the third day, would that carry with it some idea or knowledge of the fact that man, for whose sins he died, if man rejects him, that man would have to face him in judgment? Would that imply judgment? It seems that it would. We know that at this season of the year, people everywhere are talking about Christmas. And they will see all the beautiful little scenes, manger scenes. And there's the picture of baby Jesus. And there's the story of the humble birth and so on. But that doesn't really do much for the unbeliever, does it? Matter of fact, it's a very moving story, isn't it? Well, what about the death and resurrection of the Lord? There's not much said about that, is there? No. But really, the fact is that those who rejected him are going to have to face him in judgment. All right, are there any other thoughts or anything you'd like to share with us before we close our session tonight?
Well, thinking about the fact that he only appeared to own people, and he appeared to any believers, he kind of recorded that he did. Do you have any thoughts on that line?
You're right, there's no account that he ever appeared to the world, the unbelievers. His appearances were to his disciples, or those who believed on him. You see, it wasn't his purpose now to convince people, as convinced the world. He offered himself to the world. As a whole, they rejected him. And now, he ascends and he leaves the message. He leaves the message to the apostles. And it is up to the world now to believe. And we see all through John's gospel whosoever believeth on him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the message now is the center of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him by faith. No, the Lord doesn't, when the Lord was rejected by the world, He doesn't make any more appearances unto the world. They set Him, the stone which was to God elect and precious, the builders rejected and said it not. They rejected. Anyone else have any further thoughts or anything to add? Well, let's just close in prayer. Again, our Father, we're thankful for the privilege that's been ours tonight just to look into these scriptures once again that point us to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And oh, how thankful we are for that blessed work of redemption which He accomplished. When He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and was raised again, Paul says, according to the scriptures. And then he says to the Romans that He was raised for our justification. We're thankful tonight, our Father, for a living Savior, one who's risen from the dead, one who is alive forevermore, who sits at the right hand of God, and makes intercession for us, and who has promised to